Testing mic 1, 2.
Welcome to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. Now here's your host, Dave Penn.
Welcome. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Now, just to clarify, my definition of local musician is Western Pennsylvania. It's where I've lived most of my life and the music scene I'm most familiar with. Now, my desire is to shine a spotlight on musicians who typically reside in and play gigs around Western PA. Obviously, my hope is that this podcast grows and expands so that local is any town, USA. But until then, my focus will be local and independent musicians around Western PA. Today's featured local musician is the band Neutral Loss, and representing them today is their drummer, Mr. Jeff DiPerna. Welcome, Jeff.
What's up, Dave? How you doing, man?
I know, man. You got to be all formal at the beginning, so yeah. I got to let the listeners know this is a real treat for me, because you and I actually go way back. We went to the same grade school, high school, and graduated the same year from the same school, so we've been friends a long time, and we were talking earlier that we found out that we kind of live right down the road from each other.
I know, it's unbelievable, been, man. We never left. We got a lot of trouble in Catholic school, didn't we? Me and you were always
getting grounded. No, we did. We would never do that. No, maybe you did, but I didn't. It is so awesome to reconnect with you and promote Neutral Loss.
And we appreciate that, man. I mean, absolutely. We've been sitting down for quite a while. So
I know, and we're going to get to that. I'm looking forward to it, man. There's all kind of stuff we got to talk about today. Let's start with a little personal stuff on the family side. You got a wife, Nicole. You got your two Mookies.
Yeah, the Mooks. Everybody sees that on Facebook, right?
Gianna and Gabriella. Yeah. I got a chance to kind of be involved in a little bit of their younger lives, coaching basketball.
Yeah,
we did that.
Yep. How about that?
Where did Mookies come from?
The Mookies came from, I mean, this is nuts, and I'll make it very quick.
Sure.
But we had a computer game. This goes back to when I don't even think we had cell phones yet. And my wife and I were always playing games on PlayStation and stuff to the wee hours. But this computer that we had, you get a disc, and it was like a mafia game. And the guy would walk around. Basically, you had to take over the town, almost like New York.
All right.
You had to be the main guy, right, the godfather. And this guy would walk around, and he would go, "Hey, Mook. Hey, Mook." And he would bump him. Literally, and it was in my head, and I just started calling them the Mooks. Mookies. That's my Mookies, man.
From when they, like, early on when
they were infants. We would be upstairs taking some of the pressure off from having twins, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Neutral Loss. So you and your brother, Jim, formed the band. Tell me, how did that come about? Talk about the other band members, the lineup, the changes over the years, current members. Just give me an overview of how it started and some of the transitions.
Without going too deep, my brother and I grew up together playing music all of our lives. My dad had us down in the garage.
Like Eddie and Alex.
It's funny, Neutral Loss was going to be called DiPerna. We were going to call it our last name.
Van DiPerna.
But we didn't do that. We were like, nah, it's not going to cut it. But so I was playing pots and pans, just like you hear the typical stories from every drummer. And my brother he was getting guitars for Christmas. And if you remember the shop up at Norwin Town Square, it was a news tobacco place. They sold guitars in there. It was a music store.
Wow,
slash
that
tobacco.
Is going
you know what I'm
back.
Talking about?
Yes.
You have to go all the way in the back. They sold albums in there. That's where I got Speak of the Devil at from Ozzy. Anyways, we always played. We were always jamming together. I joined the Navy. I leave. My brother goes to college. We come back. You know, during our separation, just my brother and I, he was playing at college. I was sitting in on bands out in California. And we came back together once I got out of the Navy and he graduated school. And I had some money saved up. I bought my drums. I bought my first set of real drums, the Pearl Export. Sat down, started jamming. And him and I just immediately clicked, obviously. And we're like, something has to happen here.
That's cool.
I got hired with the company where I'm at now. I was a mechanic and a guy named Rick Serra. A musician himself.
That
he's
name
a mechanic.
Sounds familiar.
Oh, well, he was with us.
Rick Serra.
And he's still out there now. Great singer, great vocalist. I didn't know any of this. There's a bar. It was called Sam. It might have been called Sam Adams down under the bridge over in Harmer.
That I remember, yeah.
So him and I were working at the Harmer Garage as mechanics. And we went out and had a couple beers and shooting pool after work. And we started talking music, and he was like, yeah, I play guitar, man. I have fires at my place. You should come up. And I was like, well, I'm not really into sitting around singing folk guitar and stuff like that. But, you know, do you think you might want to play bass? Did you ever play bass? Because my brother and I immediately, you know, my brother's the guitarist.
Right.
I'm the drummer. And my brother rips, man. I mean, he's so good.
Oh, I've heard him. I've seen
you
guys.
He's just too good.
He's good.
Yeah, so he was like, yeah, you know what? I'll rent a bass. He went down to pianos and stuff, which is no longer in existence, and he rented a bass and an amp and brought it over to my house, and boom, we just clicked. We just started jamming. We would go to my house on Saturday afternoons, just like we are today, and we would play from probably 11 a.m. until 11 at night sometimes, just running through song after song after. No originals, just all covers.
Yeah.
And, man, we got a list together, and then we finally said, let's
just
have
you
a
and
show.
Your brother.
It was me, my brother, and Rick now. He was playing the bass.
Oh, Rick. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he got adjusted to it, and he was singing. He was, because that's the one thing about Rick. He had very good vocals.
Yeah.
He comes down, and
so yeah,
we were doing Pearl Jam. We're doing Van Halen stuff. I mean, everything. You can. And I was singing a lot of Van Halen. He was doing all that stuff that he brought a whole different thing to us. I would say your grunge music, basically,
yeah,
that he brought into play. And a lot of classic music, too. But we had a list set up, and that was it. The three of us just kicked it off. We were a trio. We didn't want nothing else. And then we started putting our name out there, and that's where it began.
All right, let's talk about the name. In the world of science, neutral loss is a technique used in mass spectrometry.
You got it.
To identify specific molecules. How does that become a band name?
Well, that would go into a whole deep rabbit hole,
let's
as we call it,
man.
With my brother.
Let's
we can't
go down
get
that rabbit
deep,
hole.
He, my brother's brilliant. I think he went to West Virginia, Penn State, and got a degree in chemistry, I want to say, or biology. Very smart and wise with that kind of stuff. So we were looking for a name. It was Rick, myself, and my brother. And we're like, okay, well, we got some stuff together here, man. We have a nice list of music. What are we going to be called? We got to call ourselves something. Who are we? And I was glad that we didn't say, let's call ourselves the Led Zeppelin tribute band, because we did a lot of Zeppelin. Let's call ourselves the Black Sabbath tribute band, because we were playing Sabbath. Let's call ourselves a Pearl Jam tribute or a grunge rock tribute. I was so happy, because that's all you see today now. Tribute bands are everywhere.
I know.
So he came in and he said, what do you guys think about neutral loss? And Rick and I looked at him like, you got to say that again.
Yeah,
why?
Right.
What is it?
What does it mean?
Rick and I didn't know. It's impressive that you know what it is. We looked at it, and then Jimmy explained it to us what it is. It's basically a positive, in street terms, it's a negative positive result on a test, on a blood test that goes through the biological standards of the whatever.
I know.
So if you look at our logo, and we have the rights to it, it's beautiful. You'll see the negative on the front of neutral loss, and on the back end of it, you'll see the plus sign, the positive. And that was designed by Jim as well. You know, we went through a whole bunch. We were drawing stuff up. You know how it is. When you're a band, you're like, you're happy, man, because this is going to kick off, which eventually it does. And that's what it's going to be, man. And that was it. But we even said the same thing about that. We were like, you know what? It's kind of a metaphor, because when you look at it, we have nothing to lose. We all had jobs, very good jobs. We all had families. We talked about the kids and all that stuff. Rick, by the way, had twins as well.
Wow.
He would bring clothes to my house at rehearsal. Hey, I don't know if you can use these. No, they were like, I think they're 2 years younger. So every time, and we used those.
Yeah,
he had twin strollers. I mean, he helped me out a great deal.
Oh, heck yeah, man. You take advantage
good
of
stuff,
that when you get it. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how neutral loss came about, man. It was my brother.
It's hard to believe that neutral loss is approaching its 25th year. I know it's been a busy...
Crazy.
You're, for all intents and purposes, a cover band, but you have done originals.
Yep.
People just don't know about them.
No.
And I've listened to them, and these are from a long time ago.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, today, they sound like something you could have done, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
They're very good. Talk about the things the band has accomplished together that you're proud of. You got the two albums, the performances, people you've opened for.
Well, we appreciate that first, Dave. I mean, that's, we don't hear it often. We heard it a good bit back in the day when we released these two records.
Right, right.
And
we're going to hear it today.
We appreciate you still listening to it. And we do believe, I do for sure, I can speak on behalf of myself and Rick. We're proud of what we did with that music. Rick actually had a connection through his wife. I don't know what they did, but he was her boss. And he just was into music. And he went out and bought a bunch of stuff, Pro Tools.
Oh, he
set up a whole studio in his house downstairs. And he said, you know what? It's all brand new equipment. Would you guys be willing to let me explore with your band?
Oh.
How do you say no to that?
Yeah, you can't.
So we did it. And that's Fading Fast was the first CD that we come up with. And we already had original stuff written. My brother writes a lot of music. Rick was writing down lyrics. A drummer doesn't write a whole lot. We just...
Oh, come on.
But I threw in some lyrics too. I would say, do this, change that, change this. But that happened. And it was Fading Fast was the first record we did. I want to say it was 2005. It goes way back. You're right. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Dan took us in there, and we pounded it, man, for months up in his house. It was up in North Hills. It seemed like we were up there forever until this thing got done. And we recorded about 8 or 9 tracks on that, I think, maybe more. I can't remember, on Fading Fast. It was phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
The sound was great. The music was great. And what we got from it, the accomplishments, were unbelievable.
Mm.
The DVE Morning Show gets a hold of us. They want us to work. It was called Street Jam, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Two stages would be set up. You're almost like facing each other.
Yeah. That's a great gig.
A lot of bands came into that, man. They brought bands in from all the tri-state area. Erie came in, Ohio, yeah. West Virginia, us. We played it. And after that show, we weren't reaching out to people. Like, imagine if we had a promotion, like, really kicked.
Right,
we were
right.
young, man. We were young and dumb. They called us up and said, hey, you want to play the Coffee House?
That's sweet.
So we played the Coffee House on DVE. I forget what date that was. We had to be up there like 3:30 in the morning. You have to take your equipment up the elevators.
Yeah,
it was not easy. So
we
put all of our equipment up there, and we played Wanna Get to Know You. That was the one song off of Fading Fast, which I say was probably the simplest song that anybody could write or play or sing.
Yeah.
Or do. Everybody was loving it, man.
That's nice.
And we played that on the Coffee House, and it kicked. That was a proud moment. And then it continued from there. We were getting, if you remember, Altar Bar down
the
strip.
Oh, yeah, the Altar Bar.
We opened up for Autograph down
there
after that.
Oh, that was where you opened for Autograph. Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
And I would tell Rick and Jim, I'm like, hey, look, man, we got an opportunity to open up for Autograph. And my brother, typically, he'd be like, what? Eh.
Really?
Jim,
you
we're not going to open up for Van Halen, man. You know what I mean? It's just, you know what I mean? Just press the brakes here. But once I said it, he got excited about it because you have to sell tickets. It's not easy, man.
No,
you got to sell tickets,
but
and people are like, I'm not going to go see Autograph and spend $35 for what? Well, you come out and see us. You're going to see Autograph. There was two other bands on the bill. So it was a nice organized effort. We opened up for them. We opened up for Lita Ford.
Lita Ford, too, yeah.
I mean, that was a big one, man.
And unfortunately, you were married, so
Well, she didn't. I could tell you. I will tell you a story about that, but we had to.
All right.
Lita Ford happened after Rick, our bass player. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the accomplishments with the original Neutral Loss lineup, Rick Serra, Jeff DiPerna, Jim DiPerna, is Fading Fast, and that album Believe, which, briefly talking about that, we recorded that entire CD Believe in my studio. I would call it a half studio down in my house.
Okay.
We did it all ourselves, man. No Pro Tools. We just did it. We had it mastered through I can't remember the name of the company that mastered both of those CDs, actually.
Interesting.
But yeah,
we are going to hear something from that coming up soon, but first we want to take a little bit of a step forward. Now, all bands go through the difficult times. You know, you got your breakups, your reunions, and tours, and all that kind of stuff. You guys had one of those. You split up, and you rebounded from that. Talk about what happened, how you got back together, and obviously, you know, how that kind of made you stronger and resurge.
So the differences were, my brother and I wanted to, we did a lot of work on those CDs, as you just heard. And I believe we had a moment there for Neutral Loss to.
It sounds
those
like,
songs
yeah.
were marketable. They were marketable. I don't have to say they could be. It happened. I mean, it's a fact. But we were getting gigs like just so fast. People just wanted us to play here. We were playing hard rock all the time consistently. That's when hard rock in Pittsburgh was really like
hard
booming.
Rock
people
Cafe.
Loved it down there. Yeah. You know, Craft House came along. They opened up a nice stage. I told you about the Altar Bar. We started doing all these gigs. It got so busy. And we would do these big shows, specifically when we would open up for a national artist. Now, we played other places like Rodney's. We're giving more shout-outs from Hemfield up here.
Yeah,
in Rodney.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rodney don't want to, you know, that crowd does not want to hear.
I saw you
material.
At Rodney's twice.
You did. I know. I met you up there once.
One of them, I think, was one of our high school reunions.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It was packed.
Yeah, it was.
It was packed.
A great night.
It's going to be a good leadway right into what happened. We were up there just playing nothing but covers.
Mm-hmm.
And we would throw an original. And nobody wants to hear it. Rodney would even come up to us and go, hey, man.
It's a shame.
We don't want to hear that. You know, just play the stuff, man. Just play. Let people just enjoy themselves.
I know.
All right. I started to see it. I started to see the light. We're becoming not Neutral Loss no more. We're becoming what I said earlier. We should just call ourselves a classic tribute band. That's the name of us from Irwin. Thank you for having us. So, I wanted to stick with the originals. I wanted to do another CD. I wanted to play more because now we had connections.
Right.
And then my brother started doing the same thing. He was writing music. We even wrote a song called Turned Away. It would be like a extreme B-side of an album.
Hmm.
There's one video of it. Very bad audio. It's horrible. At the Hard Rock Cafe, we played it.
All right.
We were starting to feel like we weren't on the same page no more. Rick was a phenomenal bass player, phenomenal singer, great friend. You know, we had a great time together. We did all this stuff for a long, I mean, we did it for 16 years, I want to say, or 15 wow. years together. I mean, our list of music and shows that we did were phenomenal.
It's amazing that you made it that long, honestly.
Yeah,
you
know, we're just a three-piece.
Yeah.
So you think about these bands like Iron Maiden and, yeah. you know, bands that have like 10 people in it. How do they last?
Yeah.
The Fleetwood Mac. You can see where they just crush.
Yep.
Obviously, we had our arguments, but we faded off and we never, you know, looked back. We just said, okay, we're good, man. We had a nice product put out there. We're good. We kept all the rights, obviously, neutral loss. We had to do some agreements on the side. And Rick went his separate way. He made that announcement. He got hired with Ferris Bueller's Revenge. And they did nothing but covers. That's what they strictly, you can clearly tell. I mean, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do that stuff. So it wasn't working for both sides, and that was it. So we split up. And me and my brother were like, here we are. All the way back to
back
the Navy.
To square one.
All the way back to high school.
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, ah, I'm dying. We're good, man. Let's just take a break. You know, let's take a break and relax. And I wasn't. I'm like, dude, I got like five drum sets now. we got two CDs released. I'm still here doing it now. He was reluctant, but I put a post up at Guitar Center Monroeville. And I said, let's hire somebody, man. Let's just see what happens. Let's put the feeler out there. Let's get a bass player. You know, that can get nuts. You bring a people over to your house, you have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. I've been through
so
that.
So you know what
bands.
It's like.
Yep. Auditioning.
We had a couple guys come in. This is bass. We didn't even get into the vocals yet. Well, actually, I'm sorry. We were talking about, back to Rick, trying to get a lead singer to sort of front the band and complement the band instead of having a three-piece and expand what our music was and, you know, go into some Triumph. Let's get into Journey. You mentioned Journey earlier. Let's get into some of this stuff that we can't hit vocally. Pearl Jam, we're good. Van Halen, we're good. Zeppelin, nah. And we play a lot of Zeppelin now. I know I'm dragging this out. You'll probably cut a good bit of this
off. Good. This is all great stuff. I think people are very interested in this.
When you go back to it and you look at the forms that we put out and all the notices, and we're looking for a bass player. We started getting the calls on the bass player, and one comes in. He must have had a bass stack as high as that partition right there.
Okay.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. Boom. He jams. This other guy comes in. His name was Muddy White.
Muddy White.
He goes, my name's Muddy White. And my brother we did just that. We're like, wait a minute. What is this? He goes, that's my stage name. So right away, you're thinking, that's my stage name.
That's okay. Like Ace Frehley walking into an audition with two different color shoes on.
Yeah, right. You got to be kidding me, man. So what's the real name, man? What is this guy's name? And then, you know, he finally said what his name was. His name's Jack.
Okay.
All right. Jack. So can I call you Jack? He goes, just call me Muddy. That's what everybody calls me, man.
Why not?
No problem. He comes over. He ripped. He unloaded.
Yeah?
He played bass. I don't compare to him, to Rick, to this, to that.
Yeah.
I would never do that. Rick had his style, and Muddy has his style.
I know what you mean.
Phenomenal bass player, man. I mean, he just, and we were just like, wow, man. But he was so hyper, and his name was Muddy White, and we were picky, especially my brother. Well, we brought in another guy, and then Muddy White contacts us and says, hey, are we going to be able to do this? Or, you know, I need to know because, you know, he was in several bands, too. Good bands that we later find out. And we were like, yeah, you know, I don't know. My brother's like, just ask him to learn Dazed and Confused from Led Zeppelin, the middle part of the song where they go into this whole chord progression of
music.
Tell him to learn that and then come back over. And then even Muddy said, nah, man. He was ready to say, screw you guys. And I told my brother, but I was like the mediator. And I said, nah, we're not doing that, man. Let's get him in here and let's just do it. And we come in, and since then we hit it off.
Yeah.
And we had a whole new reborn moment of Neutral Loss. I mean, he was bringing a whole different light to the music because he played the bass. It was difficult for Rick to play the bass and sing. It's difficult for me to play the drums and sing. I mean, I'll tell anybody that.
Okay.
You're not going to play all the parts and sing. I don't care who you are.
Right.
That's why when you hear Don Henley, it's pretty basic. Now, Phil Collins, that's a whole different entity.
He's on a different level.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But so this guy brought it, man. He came in, and then we go back to, you talked about Rodney's, and you talked about the reunion that we had. Gina Cotrozzola.
Gina, yeah, our good friend.
We're throwing so many names out there,
man.
Her sister, who I didn't even know her, Alicia. I did not know her. But Gina would say, well, how about if we come up and we'll sing a couple songs with you guys?
I remember that night,
we were like, yeah, let's do it.
That was awesome.
Opened up Heart.
Yeah.
It opened up, what else did we do with them? Journey.
We
did Journey.
Okay.
Yeah, we did Jefferson Airplane, Somebody to Love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And that's a hard vocal.
And then we did
off.
Some
just
Pink
like
Floyd.
Hard.
They were doing backups with us, all at Rodney's. And while I'm playing these songs, and this was getting like to the point where Rick was like, it was great. But you know, he started to think like, eh, well, how about, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm getting a little bit taken away from my vocal thing that I was doing, you know, but he wasn't. But anyway, we went back to them and I reached out to Alicia, Gina's sister, because Gina was out of town. And I'm like, man, we could get Alicia up here and have her come in. And Alicia's like, look, I'm not into like doing albums. I'm not into going into the studio. I sing karaoke. I love it. I love doing covers. I love having fun. And if you see Alicia at our shows, not so much now, but back in the old days, she would have a drink in her hand and we would tell her like, you know, you don't need to have a drink in your hand, man. just it looks so like, that's not who we are.
Right, right, okay.
But it goes back to being a cover band is what happened. So she came in, Muddy came in, and the whole package just kicked off again with a whole different pounding of music. If you look at the Led Zeppelin that we do now, we could have never done it under the trio because none of us could hit those vocals.
Oh.
No way. And she hits it. Alicia just bangs it. She's Journey. We were doing some Journey, but not like this.
Right.
You know, Triumph. We never did. We tried to do Triumph. We couldn't do it because everything. She brought the vocals that really enhanced what we do now.
She really did.
I know that was long, but
that's all right. I've got pages. I've got two pages here of stuff that I'd like to talk about, but in the interest of time, let's jump right to where Neutral Loss is today and what's to come.
So where we are today, we are still a cover band. We've talked about original music with Muddy, myself, and my brother Jim. We could probably do some of that. And Alicia would have no problem doing it. She's not interested in it, she says. But I think if we got the music
She'll come around and
took her into a studio, she would definitely do it. So I still believe that is on the horizon.
Based on what I've heard, you know, you guys have probably only gotten better and more seasoned over the years. So from what I've heard of your early stuff, I can imagine that your updated stuff would definitely be something worth looking into doing.
No, we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But we're getting old, too. I mean, don't make no mistake about it. We can't play shows, and we all have lives, everybody has families now, you know, but it would be nice to reintroduce some of the songs that are off of our two albums.
Yeah.
And that could be done. We could start playing those live, and I believe that's something we just talked about, and we're going to open up for, in January, actually, we're going to open up for Les Zeppelin.
Les Zeppelin,
they've been around, they've been playing all kinds, they're touring all over the country.
Right.
And outside the country. They're very good. We've opened up for them numerous times, but that's where I believe, again, here we go. Believe, that's the name of the one album.
Right.
Why don't we throw out an original? Just one. We're going to open up. We're going to play for 45 minutes. Put one original out there. And you never know, man. Because if you go back to Want to Get to Know You, the facts are there.
See, I don't care what club owners say. I think throwing in an original every once in a while, I think people like that stuff.
Yeah, it's a must.
When they get to know your music and your playing style and that you can pull stuff off, I think it's only a natural progression to wonder what you would do with your own stuff.
Yeah.
And I love going to see cover bands that, you know, when the singer or somebody says, hey, we're going to do an original for you now. I don't look at that and go, oh, boo, come on, play another Journey song. You know, I love to hear what these bands can do with their own creative inspiration. And we're going to do that now because I like to end each podcast with some music. We're going to take advantage of that by going back and reintroducing your original music. We're going to do two of your songs. And we're going to start by going back to the beginning. Your first album of original music was released back in 2005. You already mentioned it. It's called Fading Fast. Just talk about the title track that we're going to play now.
Fading Fast, again, was written by my brother. And it was just basically about our lives. If we don't do this now, you're just going to keep fading. Can't stop time. We're fading fast. We're going to go away quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
This is Neutral Loss with a title track to their 2005 album, Fading Fast.
Sense of it all. You have no choice when you make the call. You feel it fading fast. There is no waiting, life's gone too fast. You feel it fading fast. Your time will come for you to pay for your past.
sounds like a dream, both good and bad. Some days are happy while others sail. So listen to me now. What it's gonna be, better make it worth your while. You feel it fading, fading fast. There is no way that life's gone too fast. You feel it fading, fading fast. The time will come for you to pass.
That was Neutral Loss with the title track to their 2005 debut album, Fading Fast. Jeff DiPerna is my guest today from Neutral Loss. We're going forward in time a little bit, Jeff, to 2008 when you released the second album of original music. That was called Believe. Talk about the song we're going to hear now from that, Crossing the Line.
So Crossing the Line, very quickly, Sunday morning, we used to all get the Sunday Press. That don't happen too much anymore, man.
No.
So we had the Tribune review, the Pittsburgh Trib, and I was looking at it on the front page. It actually fits, which is amazing to me right now, on what the whole country is looking at today. And we ain't going to get political at all. But I looked at a picture, and in the image was illegal immigration is what the song is about. It was illegal immigrants coming over a dune, and there was a picture from a helicopter. They were all lined up like this. The image was coming in this way. So if you're looking at the dune, you could see all the illegal immigrants right here. And over the top of the dune, you could see a guy basically would be like in a long black trench, almost looked like a mob head or something. And he had a giant piece of glass, like a mirror.
Okay.
And I read the article and I'm reading this thing and it was interesting to me. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. And he would flash once the helicopter would go by, because it was a helicopter protecting the borders.
Right.
He would do a flash and they would all get up and run, and it would let them know that they're free, get run over to him. And then he would take them and put them into vehicles and off they would go in.
Wow.
So they would come into our country and it was illegal.
Yeah.
Straight up. And not that I'm against or for it, because that's a whole different story, a different
You're
day.
Remaining neutral.
Neutral Loss. See that? There you go, man. That's what it's about.
Well, let's hear it now. It's Neutral Loss.
Let's
Crossing the Line.
Pay what it's like. Waves his hand, I'll stand up, run for the light. Crossing the line.
That's Neutral Loss with a song from their album Believe. That was Crossing the Line. My guest today has been Jeff DiPerna, drummer for the band Neutral Loss. Jeff, it's been great catching up with you and hearing about the exciting things you have planned for the future. I know that we talked a long time today, and it's obvious we got to wrap this up and head out and grab a stogie.
There's no doubt we got to have a cigar, man. Dave, it's good to see you too. And hey, thank you so much for having me on here, man. You reached out to me.
Absolutely. Well, let's hope this
really
is a resurgence.
It. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Before we go, let's remind listeners how they can get more information about Neutral Loss and like stay up to date on the reintroduction of your original music. If they're interested in getting a CD, how do they find out more?
Well, you can still go on Facebook, obviously. Just type in Neutral Loss, you'll see it. We have a website, neutralloss.com. You'll see all of our information on there as well. If you reach out there, you'll see the information from myself. I pretty much manage the whole thing. So, and if you want to get CDs, especially these ones, just reach out to me. We'll give them to you.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Thank you.
You've been listening to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. If you are a band or musician who would like to be considered for the podcast, send your request to DavePenn11@comcast.net.